And we're continuing today talking about the Strangers Collective, and with members of the Strangers Collective. The exhibition Narrows opens this Friday at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center Gallery from 5 to 8. I'd like to welcome now Dion Valdez, who is an artist, and Emily Wiederholt, who is a dancer and writer. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi.
So, Dion, you are from Santa Fe, you're native New Mexican, and have pretty much decided to stay here and make your life as an artist here rather than sort of try to get out of Dodge for a while. Is that right?
Yeah, for now, the time being. I went to UNM. I studied over there. I focused in sculpture and painting. And like you said, I grew up in Santa Fe. So,
what was your path to becoming an artist?
My mother was an oil painter, and so I kind of grew up with a studio near the house, with paints, with easels around, and I just kind of took to drawing being young, and, you know, kind of had a bit of a passion for it and just decided that I needed to study it further.
Did you absorb, like, the style and sort of creative ideas from your family, from your mother, or did you sort of find a different path visually?
I think so. My mother, she did a lot of landscapes, and that's primarily what I do these days, especially, I mean, just the area, the geography of New Mexico and Santa Fe. It's heavily influenced me. So
there's also a kind of very linear and modern quality to your work.
Right. Yeah. I studied sculpture, and I was really inspired by the minimalists and that whole aesthetic. So I'm kind of bringing those elements into my paintings now.
So as an artist, you're inspired by both minimalist art, which is like super urban.
Right.
And then New Mexico, which is very rural and very sort of about the outdoors in so many ways.
Right.
When you bring those things together, do they feel like they're, I don't want to say clashing with each other, but like contrast with each other?
They do. And they do play off of each other in this very interesting way. And I think there's something about those minimalist inspired objects and how they activate this space and these two-dimensional planes that I create, these big expansive skies, and to have these shapes in there. And I think that's one of the things that the minimalists were trying to explore and they were dealing with, is how objects interact with the space that they're in.
Have you traveled, for example, to New York and big cities and encountered these sculptures directly?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. And another thing I did this past year is I went to Marfa, Texas, and saw Donald Judd's work.
Yeah.
And, you know, for him, it was very important that these pieces were going to could be exhibited with this big desert landscapes, that they were a perfect stage for him to articulate what he was trying to do. So
I'm
kind of very inspired by that. And
yeah. How did you get involved with the Strangers Collective?
Through mutual friends. I had moved back to Santa Fe after school, and I was just really trying to find my place, trying to find inspiration to paint. I went to one of their really early events and just asked how I could get involved, and I've been participating now for a couple of years. So
has it helped you and your work to be in a group of other artists?
Absolutely. Yeah, just to be plugged into the scene here in Santa Fe, to be with around other artists that are kind of in the same places in their careers, emerging. Yeah, it's been really great.
Is your hope to have a kind of gallery-focused career?
Absolutely, yeah. I would love to be, you know, eventually get gallery representation, continue showing in museums and galleries, definitely.
How are you making a living now?
Now I work for a family business in the evenings, which gives me time to have my studio time, so throughout the week, which is great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Emily Wiederholt, you're a dancer and a writer. Tell us about your work and how those two media come together.
I trained in classical ballet, and I moved out to San Francisco to pursue dance professionally. And at a certain point, I felt like the dialogue around the arts, at least specifically around dance, was really well, not real representative of the scene that I was part of. It was review and preview oriented. It centered a lot on the artists like the San Francisco Ballet that had a lot of money. And it felt, yeah, like it was poorly representing both the work and the lives of these artists. And so without much ado, I just started to interview people and I set up a website, and it kind of grew way beyond what I was prepared to do. And it was really rewarding because as a dancer, you usually have, you know, your community consists of the other dancers that you work with and the choreographers and plus any workshops or whatnot. But to have this arena to interview whomever and be like, I would like to know about your work. I don't need to go do it or do a workshop. But now I know that point of view, at least from the interview. And so it,
you were always interviewing dancers.
Yeah, dance artists, I guess, you know, choreographers, artistic directors.
Right.
And I like to think about dance in a really, really big way, not thinking about like, well, who's dancing for what or what your form is, because a lot of dancers don't just stick to one genre per se. And so through that, I became a writer on accident. And now I write full time.
What happened to dance? Did you decide not
to be a
classical ballerina?
Well, there were a few well-known avenues for how to pursue dance. You go and you audition for companies and you try to be in a company, and then you're going to do the repertoire of the company. You're going to do like the Nutcracker and Swan Lake and Sleeping Beauty or whatever, maybe Balanchine or whatever kind of repertoire the artistic director decides. But when I was doing my undergrad at the University of Utah, a woman came, her name was Summerlee Radigan, and she runs the San Francisco Conservatory of Dance. And she thought about dance in this really, really exciting way, using the technique of ballet as a springboard for understanding like how you can use the body in any given context. So, you know, we were working with people like that do butoh in the wilderness or like improvisational technologies. And she was bringing in these choreographers from Europe and Israel. And it was all rooted in ballet and an understanding that being a classical artist can give, like sort of how in music, like it's really, really beneficial to understand notes and measures. And then you can go do your rock and roll, but it's not like it's like, oh, well, that wasn't useful. And so now I do ballet all the time. I take a class every week. I teach here and there. But I've really sort of delved off the deep end in terms of like, what can dance be and how can it be integrated into community instead of being like an elitist thing that doesn't really have access or you have to have a lot of money to go to the theater to see. And so, and then I've always sort of written poetry for myself just because it's fun. And so I started to become really interested in this idea of like, well, when you read a poem, you like look at the page, blah, 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 blah. But you're giving a performance, is what you're doing. And I've done a fair amount of theater too and studied that as well. And so I was thinking like, well, there's something about like I'm reading my poetry. It's public now. I'm giving it a voice, but I'm not really performing it. And I have, 25 plus years of dance in my body. And so it only makes sense. I don't believe in like negating like, oh, well, that's dance goes in this context or writing goes in this context and shopping goes in this context. Right. Like, how can I bring together these worlds that I have experience in to create something that kind of weaves together? I mean, it's always an experiment. I don't really know how dance and poetry work, but that's the point, is to try.
And so in some way you're integrating or trying to integrate dance and poetry? I mean, are you going to be doing a performance on Friday?
Yes, I am going to be doing a performance on Friday at 6:30. And it's about a 10-minute piece that I developed. The piece is called Tiny Deaths, and it's thinking about how, unlike visual art or written word, as soon as you finish a dance, it's done. There's no vestige. There's no artifacts.
Yeah.
And it's gone. I mean, you can video it and replay it, but that's not really, that's its own medium now. And the poem is about that you cannot collect dance. There's no artifacts of ancient cultures. I'm like, oh, here's their dance.
It would be nice if there were.
Right.
It would be so nice to know
a lot of anthropological
danced.
Problems.
Yeah, exactly.
But so I was thinking about that, and I created this piece. It's about 10 minutes long, and I performed it at the Rail Yard Performance Center last year. It's a solo on myself, and it's a poem I wrote and some choreography I made up, trying to weave them together in a way that feels cohesive.
Can you dance and speak at the same time?
Well, sure. That's interesting because it affects the voice, right? Because you're like, oh, and now I'm out of breath.
Right.
And when you look up or down, it the way that your voice carries changes. I was in a dance theater company for about 4 years in San Francisco. And so I have a lot of experience integrating how you speak and dance at the same time. So it's not like a totally foreign concept to me.
What is the dance scene like in Santa Fe?
You know, that's a really great question because I moved here from California thinking like, oh, my dance is not over, but limited. And I found that it was really, really vibrant. I mean, for instance, there's incredible world-class flamenco culture here. And I've been delving into that a little bit here and there. And Elise Gent teaches a wonderful African dance class over at the Railyard Performance Center that brings in a lot of people. There's different ballet schools and whatnot, the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet and whatnot. And then there's just a bunch of like random artists that I bump into who are say, oh, you're a dancer too. Let's do a show. Oh, let's get together. And there's a contact improvisation scene that's I find really vibrant. Plus probably a lot of stuff that I don't even know about. Because I feel like there's always more hidden gems in a place than than we know how to find.
All in this small town. Emily Viederholt is a dancer and writer. Dion Valdez is an artist, both members of the Strangers Collective. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.